Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 3rd of November 2014, the podcast that skips the light fandango. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Let's descend with modifications the news of the bogus. So we talked about the Aereo Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court said that Aereo looked like a cable company and therefore needed a license.
Yeah.
And what's happened since then, we didn't really cover this, but I mean, this was just like a week or two ago anyway. Aereo went back to the federal judge in the case and said, hey, you know what? The Supreme Court said we're a cable company, right? That means we're entitled to all the same licenses that cable companies can get so we can broadcast things legally, right? The federal judge said, nope, can't do it. You're not a cable company.
But they just said that they were a cable company. That makes no sense.
Well, they're a cable company whenever it stops them from competing with cable companies, but all of a sudden they're not a cable company when it allows them to compete with them.
Yeah. Thank goodness Netflix came early and, you know, started with just DVDs instead of doing what they're into streaming now, because they would probably get their butts kicked for most of for the most part. Same with Hulu and everything.
Well, I mean, Netflix gets licenses from all of the content providers to do it, but even then, there's all sorts of restrictions. They can't get new movies right away. They can't get the latest episode of TV shows right away, stuff like that.
Yeah, they just paid a huge buttload of money to NBC, I think, just to get the first season of Blacklist on there. So, wow. Yeah.
I've been watching that. That's good.
It is. It's really good. Me and my dad watch it. Yeah. It's fun.
I like James Spader.
Yes, and he's going to be so great as Ultron. Yes, he is.
So anyway, they also applied to the U.S. Copyright Office, and they were denied there, too. So now they've gone to the FCC, and FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler has said that he wants to change the rules to allow online-only companies to get cable licenses.
Interesting.
What he actually wants to do is say, okay, how you deliver the video doesn't matter. It's your business model, and if you're bringing this stuff, then you fall under the same rules as any cable provider. And so that would mean that Aereo and Filmon and all of these others could obtain rebroadcasting licenses and get up and running and be perfectly legal about it.
That's going to be very interesting. But I guarantee you some will not like this because competition. Because, you know, Lord knows if they have any competition, you know, people go a little bit crazy. I mean, God forbid, Shane, I mean, oh, personal choice and preference and free market ideas? That is truly evil and such. Real salvation is just handpicked winners and such.
Yeah, well, I mean, could you imagine if there were a case where just, for example, anyone could do a weekly radio show and put it online and whatever? Can you imagine how crazy that would be?
Yeah.
You know, how many different ones there'd be and all sorts of ones that people could listen to? It'd be too confusing for everyone. No one would do it, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how to pronounce this last name, but Chet Kanoja, the CEO of Aereo,
you did it better than me,
said, quote, the way people consume television is rapidly changing and our laws and regulations have not kept pace. By clarifying these rules, the FCC is taking a real and meaningful step forward for competition in the video market.
Yeah, that's good. And more competition means more opportunity, more jobs in an economy that really needs jobs and more people money in the park. It all works out in the end. Only people get pissed off are the old guard who just wants to continue making the old way because that's what they make their money. They don't want to compete because if they start competing, they might realize that they are outdated and basically on the way out.
And the Writers Guild of America West also released a statement approving of this, quote, a technology-neutral definition of an MVPD, and I forget what that stands for, but we'll go when we go over Wheeler's blog post, but it's a multi-channel video provider, is long overdue and will enhance consumer choice, with the largest MVPDs attempting to consolidate their control of content distribution through mergers. This game-changing proposal to allow new competitors is absolutely necessary. Of course, I think the telling phrase in there is allow new competitors.
Yes.
That's the thing. I mean, it's just the people want to compete with that and they're being stopped.
Yeah. And this is what the problem is. They don't want free market competition. They go to their, their people in government when they handsomely pay with campaign donations. I keep forgetting about that. And this stuff happens. The best solution to these problems is competition.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point where the only thing we need now really is internet access. We don't need a phone system anymore because we do telephone calls through the internet. We don't need a cable channel anymore because we can watch TV over the internet. All we need is the internet. And I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago on the podcast. Charter just upped our monthly bill way up to like $65 a month.
Yeah.
Just for internet access. But they're saying, oh, you can bundle it and save money. And I kind of feel like, it's like an extortion racket trying to say, we'll make you pay unless you get our cable TV system too.
Yeah, cable and telephone and everything.
Yeah.
You think the podcast boom was crazy? When this thing goes out, I honestly think it's going to be, the one thing we're going to probably use our televisions for is probably maybe the odd DVD movie and playing video games, because everything is going to be online and your choice.
Well, the TVs now are coming with, Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff. They're built into them.
Yeah, and not only that, but also when you have the people in those areas that don't have good internet, when they start getting good internet just enough for streaming, you're going to see that place go, you're going to see it go even bigger. I honestly don't think you're going to only local news. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised local news is going to be on streaming stuff as well. So that's going to be the future. So it's going to be more personal choice.
Yeah, and really, I think the only monopoly we'll be left with is the local internet, which will basically be cable. And if you're lucky, your telco will also put in some high-speed internet, like faster than DSL. But, I mean, we've seen this, too, when, Google Fiber tries to come into a city and, the cable company goes to the local government and, screams and yells and whines, and so they put all these roadblocks in front of them.
Yeah, a couple podcasts ago, me and Travis talking about, power companies and such.
And how they put roadblocks in the way of people getting solar panels.
Yeah, solar panels or anything.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing, and it's all government's fault. I'm sorry, it's all government's fault. I actually do not blame Comcast and Time Warner and Charter and things like that for doing this, because their mandate as corporations is to do everything they legally can to make profits for their stockholders. They wouldn't be meeting their fiduciary duty if they did anything else. The problem is government giving them these favors, and the problem is government corruption that allows them to kowtow to them and eliminate competition.
Yeah, and that's why I don't have any hatred to Pepco and everything. They just did. If someone else would do it, we'd be we'd be talking about the other company and such. It's who are the gatekeepers? Who is the one who has the most power to do it? That's the question. They always seem stuck when I answer that part, like maybe the government is a little too powerful, at conflicts with their type of stuff,
Well, I wanted to go over some of FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler's comments on his blog. So he said, quote, "Today, the FCC takes the first step to open access to cable programs as well as local television. The result should be to give consumers more alternatives from which to choose so they can buy the programs they want. In 1992, Congress mandated access to cable channels for satellite services, and competition flourished. Today, I am proposing to extend the same concept to the providers of linear internet-based services to encourage new video alternatives by opening up access to content previously locked on cable channels."
Yeah, and this is something that is going to be future. More opportunities means more money to be made, more ideas to get out there, more careers and people like this. Heck, you can look at YouTube and such. I mean, no one would ever heard of something like Red versus Blue or Annoying Orange, or even Fred, for that matter, they just had kept with the same old, boring stuff. The more chances you get for people, the people have the power, more ideas and creativity can flourish.
So he also said, quote, "The mantra, competition, 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 fits perfectly with consumers' desire for video choices. That's why I'm asking my fellow commissioners to update video competition rules so our rules won't act as a barrier to this kind of innovation. Specifically, I am asking the Commission to start a rulemaking proceeding in which we would modernize our interpretation of the term multi-channel video programming distributor," that's MVPD, multi-channel video programming distributor, "so that it is technology neutral. The result of this technical adjustment will be to give MVPDs that use the internet or any other method of transmission, so if someone comes up with a brand new way of doing it in the future, it'll still apply, the same access to programming owned by cable operators and the same ability to negotiate to carry broadcast TV stations that Congress gave to satellite systems in order to ensure competitive video markets. 21st century consumers shouldn't be shackled to rules that only recognize 20th century technology.
Yes. You know, round of applause for that. Yeah. That is right there. That is right there. That's right there. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they just ignore it.
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. So he went on to say, quote, taking advantage of this rule, new OTTs may offer smaller or more specialized packages of video programming, so consumers will be able to mix and match to suit their tastes. Aereo recently visited the commission to make exactly this point, that updating the definition of an MVPD will provide consumers with new choices, and perhaps consumers will not be forced to pay for channels they never watch. And of course, that's been the big complaint about cable. You pay for 500 channels just to get the 7 that you want or whatever.
Yeah. You know, eventually you're just like, man, I don't need to watch this person doing the same type of like basket weaving. I don't want to see a basket weaving channel. You know, that's nice and all, but I don't know why it's there. It's
there because whoever owns the basket weaving channel also owns this mega popular channel and tells the cable company, if you want to carry our channel, you also have to carry the basket weaving channel.
Good old fashioned extortion.
Yep. Quote, those seeking to deploy new competitive broadband networks tell us that it's hard to provide new high-speed internet access without also being able to offer a competitive video package as well. An updated definition of MVPD would permit a new broadband competitor to offer customers the ability to reach a variety of OTT video packages without necessarily having to enter the video business itself. So that would even help to get some competition into the high-speed internet access.
And that is something we need as well. So, and people are just like, you know what? I'm not going to watch stuff anymore. And
yeah.
That's what they're doing right now. They're slowly fading away.
That's why we have the term cord cutters.
Yeah. And in fact, most of the video games, you know, today, the Xbox or whatever, have these video streaming services. And plus they have, you know, digital downloads and such. You can watch the movies there.
It's happening with software too. Microsoft Office is now available over the web, and you can actually use the online versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote for free, and Microsoft will even give you, I think, 5 gigabytes of OneDrive space.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And you can just go and use Office Online for free now.
Well, the only people who are going to be left behind is the ones who are these stubborn companies. And it's funny because they were once upon a time the revolutionaries, right? They were once upon a time, they were the new kids on the block.
But once you get big and once you get that dominance, you want to keep it and you don't want to change and you want things to stay the way they are. And that's when you need new blood in.
Yeah. You know, hopefully at the end of the day, that new blood does get in and the new blood will keep on flowing.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. Okay, so in this next story, we've done lots of cops behaving badly stories, even though we try to avoid them.
Yeah, they just keep falling down every five minutes.
But it's good to point out the rare cases where one of them actually does the right thing and serves the people and lives up to his constitutional oath. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Nashville Police Chief Steve Anderson. He's saying that local agents of the U.S. Secret Service once asked his officers to falsify a warrant.
Wow.
And he complained to Secret Service officials in Washington, and they didn't care.
Oh, well, of course. If you want to have a warrant, get a real warrant. Go out there and find that. It's not that hard.
Well, because they probably wouldn't have been able to get a warrant for this because you know what this was about?
What?
They were wanting to investigate a guy who made threatening comments on Facebook about the president.
Oh, please. We can find, there's like tons and tons of that stuff on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Even, I honestly, I don't know how this happens. It's amazing.
But they actually called, the Secret Service agents called 911, said, quote, "He shoved the door in our face and went around the corner. Looks like we're not sure if he had a gun in his hands."
Wow.
Well, and possibly he also had dancing hamsters that danced the tarantella. You know, possibly lots of things can happen.
I heard he actually had a lightsaber.
So anyway, apparently the guy refused to come outside and he shouted back, "Show me your warrant." So, according to this complaint, quote, "One of the agents then asked a police sergeant to wave a piece of paper in an apparent effort to dupe the resident into thinking that they indeed had a warrant."
Wow.
But it's like as soon as his officers arrived, they realized that they didn't have any legal basis to enter the house. And they also at some point found out that the man had a legal permit to carry a gun and had never actually threatened anyone. And so the officers said, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he got to talk to the assistant director for the Secret Service and he said, quote, "I did receive a phone call from the assistant director. His tone at best was condescending and dismissive. He asked for no details about the event and did not conduct any follow-up."
Of course.
And so the police chief asked him, "Do you think it is appropriate to wave a piece of paper in the air and tell him you have a warrant when you did not have a warrant?" And his answer was, "I don't know. I'm not a lawyer."
Seems legit. I mean, I honestly think the Secret Service should be held to a higher standard. Because if you're going to have someone doing these fake type of things, what happens when a real threat comes along? You all fall on this goose chase or what have you, and then bam, you have something horrible happen.
Or you get the equivalent of the Boston Marathon bomber. Something happens. Now all of a sudden you need the cooperation of the people.
Yeah.
Which was how they caught the guys in Boston. Yeah, that's what you need. You need people to be on your side. You need people to think you're on their side.
Yeah, and this is what happens. The trust of the people and the police are not good right now in the country. I mean, this right here is hopefully the police chief realizes that, hey, that's not, this stuff is like the Secret Service putting this to my cops and everything. That's not good. We need to get this situated. And not with this type of, oh, I'm not a lawyer. So, yeah.
But in this case, Secret Service Director Julia Pearson did resign in disgrace over the scandal. But it's like the police chief said, quote, "Merely changing the director without changing the culture of mid-level management will not bring about any meaningful change in the organization." That's how it usually happens. The director or whoever ends up being the scapegoat, and it's like, okay, there was this one bad person, and we've gotten them out of the way, and then the same thing keeps happening.
Yeah, it just continues, and if it's an systemic type of thing, it's a cancerous type of growth, the best thing you can do is to start putting these people who do violate the laws, put them in jail. Put them in jail and actually start prosecuting them.
Who are the ones who said, let's wave around a piece of paper and tell them it's a warrant? You know, take those people, have them lose their jobs, put them in jail. You know, everyone who might have given them orders or instructions to do that kind of thing, hold everyone responsible for it.
This is why people have that disconnect. Like, it's okay for them to break the law. I feel like that's the malaise that's going on in this country, and it's, to me, frightening. As long as the people who do these crimes, the police officers are doing these crimes and not cutting any type of repercussions for it, you're going to have more of these bad police stories. You're going to have more of these. And maybe next time the chief of police might not say anything. He just might say, you know what? If the people don't care, why should I care? And people are going to be like, well, you know, it's the price of doing business, which should not be the price of doing business.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Okay, so we've talked about services like Lyft and Uber. We haven't covered pedicabs yet, although South Park did a nice take on them. Basically, a pedicab, the front part is a bicycle, and the back part is kind of like a coach on two wheels.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so the whole thing's a trike, and it's kind of like you sit on this cushion bench, kind of like on a horse and buggy, except it's a bicycle in front of you, and they just kind of pedal you around wherever they need to go.
I actually don't mind that. It's pretty cool.
So 4 months ago, Chicago decided that these pedicabs needed to be regulated. So now in order to operate a pedicab, you have to buy a license that's $400 a year. They have all these requirements in place for who is eligible, including taking into account, quote, the character and reputation of the applicant or its members, you know, all sorts of things.
Yep.
And before this ordinance, Chicago had as many as 400 pedicabs operating throughout the city. This ordinance caps that at 200. And since the ordinance, the city has just received 80 applications for pedicabs. And of those 80 applications, they've only given 15 licenses.
If you want to kill a business, start regulating it. That's what it is.
Well, that's what they want to do because their buddies are the taxi cab companies. You know, they're big lobbyists.
Yeah, same thing here in Uber here in D.C. That D.C. cabs, they hate it. They hate the fact you just go in, put it on a smartphone, bam, you have the car there, drive you home, and it's fine. It's a lot cheaper. They don't want anything threatening their friends and buddies in the cab industry or what have you. It's sad. It's been basically been killed off in Chicago. It's basically gone.
Oh, yeah. Robert Tipton, the owner of Chicago Ripshaw, said he had between 40 and 50 operators in the summer in past years. This summer, that dropped to 5. And there's also these strange bans, like they're completely banned on State Street and Michigan Avenue downtown, all times in River North, and all through the loop during rush hour. You cannot do any of these. Basically, whenever there's the biggest demand for them, you can't have them.
Who gets screwed here? It's these people, these small businesses. And you know, when I hear the people say, oh, we need more regulations, I pour through these stories, and I say, oh, it's like the no true Scotsman thing. They always say it's not that. That was just bad regulation. And it's just like when you confront people with this type of stories.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing all over again. They pass these rules, and they say, oh, well, this is about public safety. But they didn't even commission a single study about the safety of pedicabs or how they affect traffic or whatever. They just asserted there was a problem. And at one point, they even claimed pedicabs exceed the speed limit, which is laughable because it's basically a bicycle with a coach behind it. Yeah.
Unless it's the Flash doing it, you're not going to pass the speed limit. Are you kidding me? Chicago Ritz-Carlton, this guy, Robert Tipton, his business is destroyed. He put his life and all this stuff, everything into this business, and it's gone.
And nothing happens to Alderman Tom Tooney, who drafted the ordinance and was the main sponsor of it, even though he publicly admitted that the cap on pedicab licenses was completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
Oh, but we can vote, so that makes the difference.
You know it is. It's a vote on Tuesday in the United States, and to me, it's frustrating. And you look and say, okay, he's pissing me off. I want to vote him out. And there is no one, there's no one challenging him. He's down.
Well, even when there's a challenge, and we said this last week, you know, in 2012, Congress's approval rating was down to 10%, the lowest it had ever been up to that point. And yet 90% of the congressmen and senators who sought reelection got reelected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but you don't like these people and you still can't get them out of office.
Yeah, but then again, I wonder, who is that mysterious 10% that still think that government's doing a good job? Maybe they're doing all the voting. I don't know.
The 10% was congressmen and their families and all their cronies and everyone else.
Maybe
when they polled the CEO of Time Warner, they said,
"Yeah." And you're down in North Carolina, Sean Hall.
Oh, it's gotten crazy.
Yeah,
it's gotten so crazy. There's all this dark money going around, and there's clearly Hagen people, you know, taking out these ads and sending out these flyers about how bad Tillis is, but not saying vote for Hagen, saying vote for Sean Ha. And then you've got Tillis people who are doing the same thing. Hagen's bad. Hagen's terrible. You know, vote for Sean Ha because he'll legalize marijuana. It's, you know, I love what Sean said about it. It's like, okay, it's official. Now supporters of all three candidates agree that Sean Ha is the best candidate.
Yeah. And this is, and you know why?
It's surreal. Yes. I've never seen anything like this.
It's, you know, this is the reason. And you agreed to this, Shane. I guarantee you agreed to this because it has been brown beaten. Into when the little kids and everything else, the third party doesn't matter. Third party doesn't count. Third party is just this way crazy, crazy type of guy. Third parties don't matter. It has been banged into our heads.
Yeah. I think everyone out there who's just fed up and just says, I'm not going to vote. I think instead of that, the advice I've given in the past is, you know, go and turn in a blank ballot. You know, let them write that off as apathy. Because if you don't vote, they're like, oh, look at all these people who just don't care. No, these people care. There's just no one they can vote for. You know, and if there's a write-in slot, how about writing in this ballot intentionally left blank? Or just to be a curmudgeon, vote for every third-party candidate. You know, Libertarian, Green, Socialist, whatever. Just anyone who's not a Democrat or Republican, just to say, you know, that, because that's the only way I think your vote can matter.
Yes. I honestly, you know how, personally, how cool would it be? We had, say, a couple of people from the Green Party, a couple of people from the Socialist, Constitutionalist, and Libertarian parties actually won seats in the congressional districts. Actually have a truly mixed Congress or something where you had the Democrats, Republicans, and all these other parties, just to see what would happen.
Well, it's like in our local county commission race. I've already voted. I voted in early voting. It's pretty much all Republicans, and it's going to be all Republicans, so ordinarily there wouldn't be much. But I did vote for this one guy, not because I agree with him politically. He's not a Libertarian, but he is a complete contrarian to everything that they're doing up there. And at least it's a different voice then, and at least maybe he can kind of get in the way of getting a lot of these ridiculous things passed.
Exactly. And that, honestly, would be more of the diversity that's needed in Congress, in the country, because, you know.
Well, and that's like what they're saying. Oh, well, we've got to stop the Republicans taking over the Senate, because if that happens, then nothing will ever get done. And it's like, well, now you're making me root for the Republicans.
Yes. In fact, nothing.
And that takes a lot.
Yes. But yet, nothing gets done now. And that's the real.
Well, the wrong things get done.
The wrong things get done, and the right things just sit and mold and. And basically, when the time of writing does get done.
Yeah, well, like Harry Reid keeps blocking audit the Fed, things like that.
Yeah, keeps blocking it until, well, eventually, they're like, if I keep blocking it, eventually people won't care and people will forget about it. And sadly, that plan always works. But one day, I hopefully will live long enough to see this. We'll shake things up instead of the same old Republican, the same old donkey, and the same old elephant.
My prediction? If that ever happens, it'll last 2 years because then they'll gerrymander the districts to stop it.
Sadly, yes. Because, you know.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to drop a piano on the head of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to officials at E.R. Dixon Elementary School in Mobile County, Alabama, and you just won't believe this.
Oh, I
A five-year-old girl drew a picture of something that vaguely resembled a gun, and they didn't show it, so we don't know what it actually was, and pointed a crayon at a fellow classmate and said something like, pew, pew, which I guess is a fictitious science fiction laser gun that doesn't actually exist or anything. I don't know of any guns that actually make the sound pew, pew. And get this. These school officials made the girl, a five-year-old girl, sign a contract promising not to commit suicide or homicide. I kid you not.
I when I saw this story, I was like, please be an onion story. Nope. Please tell me this is an onion story.
Not onion.
I don't know what to say to this. I mean, I don't know what type of, this is what zero, I think Dave DeCott would say, this is what zero tolerance gets you. I mean, probably a more crude way, but, it's just like, this is what zero tolerance does get you. This type of crazy. This is insane. I didn't have to deal with this when my mom, and my dad would probably went crazy. They would go insane if they had told me I had to sign a contract with this.
Oh, we had guns that actually looked like, you know, Uzis. They were water guns, but they looked like Uzis. They were black. They didn't even have the stupid orange thing on the end of it. No one cared.
Yeah. And now, five-year-old girl, just doing this, pew, pew. And they're like, oh, she's got to go crazy or something. Sign a contract.
Well, and the worst thing about it is they made her sign the contract while her mother was waiting outside.
Yeah, but her parents weren't even involved. She was...
First of all, no contract with a minor is valid. And second, you do not make a minor sign anything without a parent or guardian present.
This is common knowledge.
Even if you need to question a minor, you know, about a crime or something like that, you don't do it without the parents present unless the crime is something like parental abuse or something where there's a bias there. And even then, the court has to appoint a guardian ad litem and do that. No, they just stuck her in the principal's office or wherever and made her sign this thing.
The little girl was also forced to take a psychological evaluation to gauge her likelihood of suicide. Unsurprisingly, she didn't even know what the word meant. My child interrupted us and said, what is suicide, Mommy and Daddy? What is suicide?
Breaks your heart.
It does. This is how has this happened? This is insanity.
I don't know.
This is just straight up insanity.
This is what happens when there's no accountability. That's just all there is to it.
And I know. This five year old child who doesn't even know anything. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't know what suicide is. And yet she's going to, yeah, you have to sign a contract.
But it's like when the school shootings and everything started making news. Not when they started, they've been going on for, who knows how long. But when they started making news, people said, oh, well, we got to pass these policies to stop this from happening. Now, a school shooting happens, they still say, oh, we need to pass these policies to stop it. But wait a minute, we already had those policies and it still happened.
The sad part is, it just seems like it's just there just to make them feel better and safer. It's just, again, it makes you feel safe, but doesn't do anything. You know, it makes it feel, this makes the school look like bullies and such. They're bullies.
Yeah, well, they pretty much are. And NBC News tried getting the school side of the story and never heard back from them. And again, we haven't seen the piece of paper. We have no way of knowing what this pew pew thing she was saying was. Is it getting to the point where we need video cameras on teachers as well as policemen?
Yeah, and this, every time I hear stories like this, it's more and more realized if I ever have kids, I'm going to homeschool them. Because straight up, I mean, this stuff right here, if it's bad now, what's it going to be like 10, 15 years from now? I mean, you can have someone like say, you know, say bang, and then next year, you know, they're going to go to prison. I honestly think that's going to happen. What, I guarantee you, next year or something, you're going to hear a story of a kid just saying bang, and next year, you know, this child's going to be expelled. I would not be surprised.
Well, if we could make E.R. Dixon Elementary School feel even an ounce of the shame and humiliation they've made this innocent girl and her mother feel, then at least that would be some form of justice. Unfortunately, we're limited to just naming them this week's biggest Bogani maker. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's dehydrogenize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
And this week it's political moderates.
Oh.
What? I'm going after political moderates. Aren't they the more reasonable when in politics? They're the ones who eschew the extremes and they argue for more reasonable middle-of-the-road positions, right?
Hey, you're attacking me, Shane.
Well, not according to a study published by the University of California at Berkeley, where an extensive survey involving 134 separate issues show that so-called moderates aren't really moderates at all. They just hold a mix of extreme views from both sides, and so it averages out and makes them appear moderate. Actual moderates, they found, are pretty much a myth.
Oh, joy.
So here's what they did. Quote, according to the ideological view, citizens' responses to individual issue questions do not reflect convictions specific to issues, but rather represent their noisy attempts to apply their underlying ideology to the unfamiliar questions before them. So they've got, you know, this particular opinion they have that's unique to themselves, and they're just looking on these issues of the right and left and seeing which issues apply to those, right? I mean, you know, libertarians know all about that. We agree with the right on gun control, and we agree, you know, with the left on legalizing marijuana or whatever, so.
And extremes and such, you know, that sort of thing.
All right, quote, to correct for the substantial noise present in citizens' answers to individual policy questions and measure citizens' generally ideological preferences precisely, students of representation thus increasingly ask citizens batteries of issue questions from which they attempt to extract an ideological sign in the form of ideal point estimates on other ideological scores. However, the ideological innocence perspective would also predict that citizens who appear closer to politicians on an ideological index would also be more likely to vote for them. We would expect both more liberal citizens and citizens who support a greater number of liberal policies than conservative policies to be more likely to vote for Democrats. Both perspectives thus predict that citizens who answer more questions on a policy battery in a liberal manner will be more likely to prefer to be represented by Democratic politicians. But what they actually found was that voters overwhelmingly chose politicians based on their stance on individual issues rather than ideology, and they overwhelmingly prefer a politician that sticks to inferior issues and doesn't change it than one who changes to a position that's more in line with their ideology.
Hmm, that's crazy right there.
Yeah.
Because I used to be pro-war on drugs, but now I changed. I am now one of the biggest people in my family. They keep saying one of the people, the biggest agitators against the war on drugs. They always say, you know, oh man, you look like, my dad's like, yeah, man, you convinced me that saying that the war on drugs is not good enough and everything. People stick to your principles. Stick to them no matter what, and that's, you know, and that's integrity, and that's important.
But they're not sticking to principles, they're sticking to candidates. So, like, if you had your choice of two candidates, one was just steadfastly sticking to it, I'm in favor of the war on drugs, ban all drugs, put people who smoke marijuana in jail. And then the other one used to be in favor of the war on drugs and against drug legalization, but then changed his mind and then said, hey, you know, I've come to change my mind on this. It would be better if we legalize drugs. Would you really, all other things being equal, stick with the one who continued to say, let's throw marijuana smokers in jail?
No, I wouldn't stick with that.
But that's what they're finding in this study.
That's just too...
That they would rather stick with the politician that keeps his stand on the inferior issues than go with one that has changed his position to a more superior issue.
My younger brother on Facebook said this, and he says, you know, as time goes on, and how I look at it, seems like politics is very more like a sports. It's very more of a sports thing, more sports team such. I'm paraphrasing, but I said, welcome to the club, man. It's like, again, rooting for a team, a football team, a basketball team, and everything else. But at the end of the day, rooting for basketball, football teams, whatever, don't really cause much change, what have you. They are stuck with these people. They are like so rabid, and so like, if they even have an inkling. A small little inkling of saying, well, maybe we look at this other side, and they go like, up, he's a traitor, he's a rhino, she's like, he's a Democrat name only, dino, rhino, whatever. They're so like, they have to be on the same side. Even if it's been disproven, they still have to be on that side. And that to me just shows you that if the majority of people in this country are stubborn, we're going to have stubborn people leading us, which is sad.
And they also said, quote, if citizens' issue opinions were merely a noisy reflection of their ideology, we should see citizens tending to choose ideologically congruent politicians over politicians who take a few issue positions they happened to take 2 months before. We do not. This suggests that the apparent correlation between ideology and vote choice, often taken as evidence that citizens evaluate representation on an ideological basis, is a byproduct of citizens' desire for representation on individual issues. Citizens continue to evaluate politicians on the basis of congruence with their issue positions. Citizens appear not to evaluate representation through the one-dimensional ideological lens common to elites, but instead appear to own multiple pairs of blue and red tinted glasses that they use to evaluate distinct issues. In other words, they're just choosing which team they're on.
Yeah. Like we see, like, for example, what happened in Virginia, like last, like the last big election, you know, what have you, when a third party, you know, was gotten a lot of votes, the Republicans were crazy, and the Republicans are like, see, you shouldn't do third party, you should vote for my, even though they have nothing in common with you, you have to vote for my side. It's just, again, nothing changes.
Well, that's just like the crazy thing they're doing with the Senate race here, and just all the dark money weirdly supporting Sean Haas as a means of attacking the other candidates.
Yeah, and this is the sad part. And I, if there was any real justice in this in the world, Sean Haas would win in a landslide.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see it because it would just say, you know what, your attacks, using him as a proxy, backfired immensely, and he wins. When you have these parties, these old parties have been in power. It's insane.
Even though poll after poll after poll shows like, you know, 60-80% of the electorate won a third party.
Yeah, and the people in that electorate still vote for the two same parties. Because, again, we've been hammered since we were young, and the people, you know, hopefully that's changing with the internet and everything like that, with Sean Hall and Ross Perot back in the 90s. You know, he had a like somewhat legitimate shot of actually winning the presidency, but
until he quit and came back and went crazy.
Yeah, but
but I tell you, if the 2000 election had been held online, Harry Brown would have won. I mean, just left him in the dust. He was just sweeping all the polls and just, you know, because at this point, you know, CNN and other news outlets like that were getting online, and
yeah,
man, the support for Harry Brown on those, it was just incredible.
I would not be surprised you have at least another independent, like Bernie Sanders or something, does get elected, you know. But I think it's just, you know, it's like a token. Like, see, we have independent.
Well, they're actually saying that's not going to happen, is what they say is, quote, because each citizen's pattern of views across issues appears unique, each citizen is likely to be disconnected from the positions their representatives take in his or her own way, a situation which the election of more moderates or more of any other one particular kind of politician could not broadly resolve. And there's even a place, I didn't write it down, but there was a place there where they actually mentioned a couple of moderates that are in the Senate and saying that this does not mean that electing more people like those moderates will solve the problem. And it seems to me what this shows is that the whole idea of political representation is an unreliable and unobtainable utopia that goes directly against human nature. We're just too unique.
Yeah, and this is, it's, you know, just we keep going in this damn circle over and over. We hate the Republicans, so we gotta vote Democrat. We don't like the Democrats, we gotta vote Republican. Over, and if you try to have a third party, no, you're taking votes away from the Democrat and Republican. It just continues over and over, year after year after year after year. And even worse, they say you can't vote for third party because, you know, it's too important. The world's at stake. I mean, you said something like this, I think last election, like said when Gary Johnson was running third party. He said that the years before that, you know.
They say it every time, every single time. This election is so important. This is the most important election of our lives. There's so much at stake, and it's that way every time.
But I feel like it's going to happen maybe in our lifetime that people are going to say, you know, I'm getting sick and tired. And I guess there's some people, that's why people are voting for third parties now, like I am myself, because I'm sick and tired of the same old stuff. I'm sick and tired of being the person who just say I have to vote Democrat or Republican in the same thing. Vote for the person who actually has the stones to say, no, this is wrong. I don't agree. No, I don't actually think this is a good idea. But again, like this report says, it just seems that, you know, the people have just been, I don't know, guilted or just grew up in the same mindset of just, we have to vote to either side. That's it.
And the next time someone lays that on you and tells you that they're a moderate and pretends this means that they're more reasonable than you, you know exactly how seriously to take them. When that happens, remember that that's the very sort of person that was named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this The Goat's Done a Bundle edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
No problem, man.
Until next time, here's a quote from Thomas Paine. Those words, temperate and moderate, are words either of political cowardice or of cunning or seduction. A thing moderately good is not so good as it ought to be. Moderation in temper is always a virtue, but moderation in principle is a species of vice. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution on Commercial Derivative 2.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
I didn't even do what have you about 10,000 times, so I'm making progress.
Yeah, you only did it 9,099 times, so that's...